I hope you guys have been enjoying the sowing and reaping series. Pastor Stephen, man, that was so good. That was so good. I've taught sowing and reaping in youth group for numbers of years. It's always been one of my favorite things to teach on. But this time, I don't know, after teaching it, man, it got into my heart and head. And just so many times I'm thinking, ooh, that's a bad seed. Like, I'll just stop. I'm like, ooh, that's a good seed. If I'm, you know, I'm like thinking about, I don't know if I want to do it. Yep, I'm going to do that because I'm going to sow. I'm going to create a better future. I'm going to create my future. I'm going to create my God future. I'm going to sow kingdom of God seeds. I'm going to sow good seeds. So hopefully that you've enjoyed that. But as you can see, we're moving on to a different and brand new series this week. We're going to be talking about wisdom. The pathway to life. Wisdom, the pathway to life. And I love the Proverbs, and so we're going to spend some time in Proverbs over the next couple weeks, and we're going to talk about what it means to be wise. What happens when we're not wise, you fool? Right? We're going to look at fools and simpletons and mockers, and we're going to look at some of the different characteristics. And how do you get to be wise? Are you born a fool or you're born wise? Is it like some magic rock somewhere that you've got to touch with one foot on the ground when the moon is full or whatever? Like, how do you get to be wise? Can you get to be wise? Or is it just a luck of the draw? Or is it for anybody? Or how do you get to be a fool? Like, is it just in your DNA? Is it, some of us, maybe, yeah. Is there any hope? Can we change? Is there, like, do we get access to wisdom? Like, so we're going to cover some of those subjects, and we're just going to do an intro today, but, like, and what does it really mean to be wise? Like, what is that? Is it, is it some guy in a robe, you know, sitting up in a temple in a mountain somewhere? What is real wisdom? What is God wisdom? What does the Bible say about kingdom of God? What does it say about wisdom and my life and how those two interact? And so we've subtitled this The Pathway to Life. So in our wisdom series, I want to start with this verse, Proverbs 15:24. It says, the path of life leads upward for the wise. Now, how many of you know, we'll just start out with this right away. It's not really in my notes, but Proverbs is written for instruction because it's part of the canon of the word. Now, if you're new to the church world, when I say canon, it's not the thing with the metal balls and the gunpowder. Canon of Scripture means the gathering, the grouping together of Scripture. So Proverbs is part of the Bible, we would call it. You know, it wasn't called that, you know, earlier. That's the name that we give to the collection of books. But Proverbs is one of those books, and I think it's one of the Timothys talking about the Word of God. You know, all of the Word of God is useful for instruction and correction and to build you up and on and on and on and on. That's one of our core tenets here to walking in the truth of God's Word. Proverbs is part of God's Word. So it's for instruction. So when I see a verse like this, we're going to just jump ahead and say, well, this verse is, so if we were not able to be wise, if that was unattainable for us, if it was a genetic thing, if it was a luck of the draw, if it's like, well, you got royalty and wise people, you know, kind of a bloodline thing, or you got to be in the right place at the right time, or, oh, yeah, if you would have went to that one special meeting, you know, that this preacher had, you'd be one of the wise, you know, whatever. If it was not accessible, then Proverbs would not instruct us like this. And obviously, it's accessible. So that's all what Proverbs is written for, so we can be wise. So I was just kind of tantalizing you with some thoughts that maybe you've never thought about before. Do you have to just kind of be born wise, or can you become wise? A little teaser for the next couple series, next couple messages. You can. Nudge your neighbor. Just say you can. You can. Yep. You can become wise. So Proverbs is telling us here that there's a pathway that you can walk on, and it leads upward. And what are we walking away from? What does this text tell us? What are we walking away from? Somebody. All right, thank you, two of you. The rest of you, join in with the smart people. What are we... teasing. You guys are all smart people. What are we walking away from? The grave, death. Yeah, depending on what version you have. Yep. Death, destruction, the grave. So do I want to be on the path that leads to the grave? Like experiencing death in this life, kind of experiencing destruction, experiencing the fruits of the grave? Or do I want to be on the path that leads to life, the path of life that leads upward? That's the path that I want to be on. The cool thing about paths is you never know what's going to be along the path, right? How many have ever been to Seachy Hollow? You ever been on a path? Like, that's my go-to illustration because I don't really know any other ones. But you've been to a place where you have some park somewhere, there's paths. Have you ever gone back to the same path again, ever, at a park, maybe the next day or whatever, or a year later, or the next season? You don't know what's going to be on that path. You know the path. You know where it goes. We start here, and it's going to come out, you know, down at the bridge down there, and then we'll have to walk on the tar all the way back to where we parked and whatever. But you don't know what's going to be on the path. There might be a tree falling. But you know the destination of the path. You know where the path goes. But you don't always know what's going to be on the path. So Proverbs isn't necessarily a, if you do this, everything's going to be perfect for you. You don't know what's going to be on the path. But I can tell you where the path is going to lead. It gives you some glimpses of the destination of some of these paths. One path is going to lead towards death and the fruit of death. You know where that path is going to end up. There might be even some little good things along the way on that path, but it's going to end up in death. There's another path that's called the path of life. The wise find that. And we're not talking about necessarily like eternal life, not that kind of life like Jesus was talking about, but the path of life that makes your living in this world a more enjoyable experience. How many of you enjoy banging your head against the wall repeatedly with no discernible results? But yet we do it all the time, don't we? Honey, I'm not answering that one. I don't care how many times he asks me. We do the same thing over and over because it's just reaction. It's just what we do. And in the Proverbs, you'll find wisdom speaking into that kind of stuff, saying you've got to think differently. You've got to do something differently. You've got to change and embrace this pathway. And on this path, there might be obstacles. There might be a tree falling down. There might be a bear along the way or whatever. I don't know. But the end of that path is a good place, and it's the path of life. So that's just kind of a little preview of paths. But if we're going to talk about wisdom, we're going to have to talk about Solomon. Little background on Solomon. Anyone ever heard of Solomon before? Do you guys remember Captain 11? The wisdom of Solomon and the strength of Atlas. Yeah, exactly. You are Captain 11. So that's the Solomon that they're talking about. Solomon was a king of Israel. Israel was God's country, God's group of people in the Old Testament, and that's really what the entire Old Testament is about, kind of God moving, you know, in and through, and that's who now, as Christ followers, who we're grafted into, right? That's the vine that we're grafted into, that group of people. Okay, so Solomon was one of those kings in kind of the golden age of Israel when things were going really well. His dad, do you guys know what his dad's name was? David, King David. Now, you've probably heard of David along with another name, David and Goliath. Good. David and Goliath. Now, that's the kind of the kid's story that we know, but David went on to become a king. Now, he suffered through lots of tough times and wars and turbulent times, and so he had this son, one of his sons' name was Solomon. And so Solomon ended up, kind of jumped to the end of this story. Solomon ended, what is Solomon famous for? Wisdom. Yep. You guys know it. You're just afraid it's a trick question. Yes, wisdom. Solomon is famous for wisdom. Famous for being the wisest man that ever lived. And to this day, I believe that Solomon acquired this wisdom from God. And so just before we won't get to really Proverbs today, but before we kind of jump into our wisdom series, and we're going to start by looking at Solomon, because he wrote the Proverbs, and that's where we're going to hang out for a while. How did Solomon get to be wise? Now, most of us, if you've been to church before, you kind of know the story, right? You kind of know the story about Solomon. We'll read that today. But what was intriguing to me as I was prepping for this, I'm like, God, what was the setting of the stage? What was the context of this story? What was going on in Solomon's life? We all know the story. We're going to read it here in a little bit. You know, God asked Solomon, what do you want? And he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. So just if that's a spoiler for you, sorry about that. That's what's going to happen. Okay, but previous to that, why was that a good, like, how come he had such a good answer? How come, what was going on in his life? What was going on in Israel? What was going on in his family? How do I get, often when I read that, let me just kind of tell you some. When I read that, I go, would I have answered like Solomon did? And if not, how do I get to the place that I can answer like Solomon did? Does that make sense? How do I get to the place where wisdom is would be the answer that I would give if God asked me for what I want? Because I want wisdom. Man, do I want wisdom. When you start seeing the benefits of wisdom and the pitfalls of not walking in wisdom, man, I want wisdom. We need wisdom. We desperately need wisdom. We're not going to explain even what it is today, but we're just looking at some backstory. So David was Solomon's dad. David was king of Israel. David finally got to the end of kind of all of his warring and stuff. He got to be an old man, and they brought a young lady that he didn't have relations with, but she just kept him warm. He couldn't stay warm in the castle or palace or tent. I don't know where he lived, but palace, I suppose. But he couldn't stay warm, and so she snuggled with him, and they put blankets on, and so kind of that's where he was at in his life. And so we're getting just a little glimpse into this kind of end of his life, and so we're seeing King David's kind of his farewell speech and really what was in his heart to do, kind of what he had been up to. Hey, King David, what have you been up to? Raising money for the temple. Hey, David, what's going on? What are you going to be up to next week? Getting stuff together for the temple. Like that was his thing. He wanted a temple for the Lord. It was in David's heart to see God have a resting place where the ark could be in the presence. David was a worshiper. He wrote so many psalms. And so where we're peeking into here, David had gathered together kind of the military leaders, the leaders of groups of 1,000 and leaders of groups of 100, the leaders of all of the livestock and the cropland and kind of the goings-on, the business operations of the kingdom, all of the heads of clans. So this was a huge leadership meeting. Okay, so we're going into the leadership meeting, David's final leadership meeting, his parting ways. And so we're going to see what does he have to say, because Solomon's about to step into this kingdom. And we know that somewhere along the line, real shortly here, God's going to show up to Solomon and say, what can I give you? And Solomon's going to have a good answer. But what was happening right before that? So here's David's speech. 1 Chronicles 28, we're going to be there for a few verses if you want to look in your own Bible, but it's otherwise up on the screen. So David rose to his feet. Now all these people are gathered there, and he said, listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name because you are a warrior and you've shed blood. Okay, so David had it in his heart. Sometimes the plans of God that he puts in your heart are not for you, but you're the conduit that they're going to flow through. That's a whole nother sermon series, but especially in America, we think about me and right now. How much of your life are you positioning for your great-grandkids? And I don't just mean like financially. I mean just like what kind of legacy, what kind of fabric of God life are you weaving, and what kind of God ideas are you instituting now that might not even be for your time? It might not even be for you. How many of the revivalists, and if you read the revival books, you know, from Ireland, from, you know, from the New York revival, from just the Great Awakenings, from through Europe, just all of those revivals, often those guys would pray and they wouldn't even live to see it. you know, or maybe they'd be old, or maybe they pray for decades, and then they would see this thing that would transform their entire country or their entire region. God might be putting things in your heart that isn't even for you. That's what happened with David. God put it in his heart to build this temple. God said, you're not the one to do it, though, but get things in order for it. So David used his influence and his own personal wealth, and man, just a massive undertaking of gold and jewels and woodworkers or whatever. We're going to go on to the next verses. So yet the Lord God, the God of Israel, chose. Say chose. God chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel. Hold on. He chose Judah as leader, so going back a ways. And then from the tribe of Judah, he chose my family. And from my father's sons, he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. It pleased God to choose him. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. God chose Solomon. True or false?
True.
God chose David. True or false? Okay. The epicness of this statement here, and it's true, we see that. We see that God spoke that to his heart. But why this is so epic is the line right before it, and the Lord has, of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many. Okay, so did David have one son or many sons? Many. David had many sons. We see that right here. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen. Who has chosen? God. God has chosen my son, Solomon, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord. God chose. It wasn't the only option. There were other options for the lineage of David. God had made great promises to David about his lineage being on the throne. So any one of his sons would have fulfilled that promise. Why Solomon? So that's what I keep asking myself. Why Solomon? Why Solomon? Now, I don't know if you know this or not. You probably do. I'm just slow to the party. Do you know who Solomon's mom was? Solomon's dad was David. Do you know who Solomon's mommy was? Bathsheba. Anything ring a bell with Bathsheba? Not one of David's finest moments. David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and there was even judgment of God on that. David's son died from that whole thing, and it just, man, it was bad. You know, of course, he had her husband killed. I mean, it just, when you're caught in the middle of sin, don't scheme to come up with a way to get out of it, because every time, it gets worse. Every time. Uriah was one of David's mighty men, and he had him killed. Just killed one of these beautiful men of God that was committed to serving him. Man, talk about bad decisions. Anyone ever made a bad decision before? Don't raise your hand. David got caught up in sin. Just gross sin. And that we're not going to preach on that, but just like, Bathsheba is that lady. And I just want to see, well, I want you to see the divine beauty of redemption here. The divine beauty of God taking something that was ugly and turning it and making it beautiful. God took this relationship that was never supposed to be and then created the line of Israel from that. So of all David's kids, he could have picked someone else, but he chose the son of this woman who David went and had an affair. Like, oh, really? One of those? Like, that's the mom? Like, and she didn't, like, you know, how are you going to refuse the king, right? You know, so I don't know what part she had to play in it, but it was David's fault. Like, he's the guy that's being a bad dude. And yet God redeems that. How many of us, listen to me, how many of us have put qualifications on our life? God, you can't use me, or you can't use me greatly because. You got a story worse than Bathsheba's? Doesn't matter to God. How about Rahab the prostitute, who ends up being included in the lineage of Israel? How many times do we tell God and we mentally just say, God, I know that you love me. I know that you're in my heart. Thank you for that. But that's all you get. That's all I got. That's all we're all gonna get. Because you don't know, God, or maybe you do. Whatever. My past, the decisions I've made, my family, I was born into this kind of a situation. Yeah, God, well, I mean, good luck. Thanks for trying, but nothing great can ever come out of my life. I want to just call out that lie today. And if you've been hanging on, if you've been sucking on that candy, spit it out, right? I just see like a Jolly Rancher. You've been just kind of hanging on to that sour thing in your head and thinking, yeah, well, God, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that you love me, but there's no great thing that's going to come out of my life. How about the lineage of Israel coming out of a horrible sin-filled situation that God redeemed and said, you know what, out of all the sons, hey, let me tell you which I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick Bathsheba's son. That'll really make the other guys mad. That'll make all the religious people upset. We're going to pick redemption. We're going to pick redemption. We're going to show you what redemption looks like. And so just first of all, God chose. God chose. So continuing on in 1 Chronicles 28, he said to me, so this is God talking to David, Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house. Just in case there was any confusion, he's the one who will build my house and my courts. For what did God say? I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws as is being done at this time. Now, I don't know if you caught something in that verse, because I didn't. Caught it for the first time today. The very first time. The end of that verse. I had to go look it up in a bunch of other... Is this saying what I think it's saying? The very end of this verse. As is being done at this time. What is being done at this time? Carrying out my commands. Who is? He is unswerving. Whoa, who are we talking about? Solomon. Solomon wasn't king yet. Solomon had told David, I want your son to build my temple. And let him know that if he holds fast to my commandments, if he follows in my paths, if he walks in my ways, if he does the things that I'm commanding him to do, like he's doing right now, then I'm going to really bless him. He just throws that in. Oh, by the way, I see him. Hold on, church. Your righteousness that's done behind closed doors, God sees. God sees your hearts. God sees your actions. God sees your motives. God sees. You don't have to struggle and strive for accolades. And boy, I hope someone knows how holy I am, because I'm really trying hard to be holy for God. Live your life how God wants you to live it, and he sees. Behind closed doors, he sees. Do the right thing, because he sees. When no one else sees, he sees. When no one else knows it's in your heart, he sees. God sees. Solomon isn't in the spotlight yet. Nobody even knows where he's with his mom somewhere. God's telling David, just let him know, David, let Solomon know that he's got an incredible future if he keeps following my paths like he's doing right now. And he throws it in like this little, like a side note, like a little addendum. And I never caught that until I was preparing this verse. I'm like, wow, God let David know that Solomon's doing the right thing and his heart's in the right place right now. God sees. And you know what else that reminds me of? I've chosen him. I think of the struggle that we have, and we're like, yeah, well, God, that was, like, sure, you redeemed that situation, whatever, but then there's me, right? And we kind of feel like we're the special bad case, right? Like, well, I know God loves me because God loves everyone. He has to love me, right? Right? I want you to see some verses today. We're talking about, like, just be real quiet, but just point at your neighbor. We're talking about you today. We're talking about you. Look at this. In John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Wait a minute. What does that sound like? That sounds like sowing and reaping there. Hang on. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. A couple more verses on this. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this, we know. Wait a minute. We don't think, this is not an idea. This is not a kind of a precept of God. We know. Stomp your foot. Oh, come on. Stomp your foot. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has what? Chosen you to be his own people. Now, we're not talking about Israel here. We're talking about you. Oh, come on. Come on. If you are following Christ, if you're thinking about following Christ, if you've got an inkling of wanting to follow Christ, God has chosen you. You are chosen by him. He picked you. Nod your head a little bit. Just think about it. Let it rattle around in there a little. God chose you. He chose you. Not only does he love you, because it's one thing to be loved, right? Well, you have to love me. You're my dad, whatever. But it's a whole different thing to be picked. It's one thing to be loved. It's a whole different thing to be loved and picked, right? When someone picks you out of a crowd, right? All of a sudden, that's singular. That's for you. And God loves. Well, he is love. Well, we're all loved. Yay. I'm just being silly, but right? We can justify that. But chosen? Well, those other people, they're chosen. I'm loved, because God loves everyone, so I guess he's got to love me too. But no, you're chosen. You're chosen. He loves you, and he's chosen you to be his own people. One more. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. It almost seems like this is a theme here. It almost seems like there's more than one spot to counteract our faulty thinking that God has not chosen you. You are chosen. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And listen to this last line. It gave him great pleasure. It brings pleasure to the heart of God to choose you. You're chosen to bear fruit. You're chosen for good works. You're chosen to be holy. You're chosen to be loved. You're chosen to bear fruit. You're chosen to do great things for the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, with the Holy Spirit, filled with life, walking in truth. You're chosen. That's you. We're talking about you. Yeah, you. You're chosen today. You. Not the person next to you, not the super Christian in the other aisle. You are chosen. You're chosen. And that gives God great pleasure. So meanwhile, back in Israel, we're still reading this speech. So I charge you in the sight of all of Israel. This is David still speaking here. And in the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of God. So he's talking to all the leaders. Be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord that you might possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance. David's saying, follow God. Guys, just follow God. Do what you're supposed to do. Follow God. And then this nation will stay strong. In the next verse, he turns to Solomon and says, and you, my son, Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father. Serve him. So now we're switching. All right, we started talking about chosen. So I'm asking myself, why was Solomon in this spot to respond to God the way he did? The king chose him, and the king's God chose him. He's loved and chosen. If you're going to pursue wisdom, man, don't do it out of a defunct, kind of a broken in a bad way kind of a way. To get wisdom to kind of fix you or to do something, man, it starts from a healthy place, knowing that you're loved. You are loved. You are loved. You are chosen. You've been chosen to go bear fruit, and wisdom will help you produce that fruit. We saw that. Wisdom will help you to produce that fruit. So I see Solomon's journey starting that he knew he was chosen. He knew that he was chosen. That is, he's starting this walk forward with God and as being king of Israel. He started knowing, all right, that issue is solved. God didn't make a mistake. He didn't, I didn't draw the lucky number, and then God's like, oh, I wish someone else would have got it. No, he's chosen. He wakes up every day going, I'm chosen. Yep, you can wake up every day going, I'm chosen. Just nod your head, I'm chosen. Yep, I'm chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen to do great things. You're chosen to be filled with the Spirit. You're chosen to have life. You're chosen for ministry opportunities all around you. You're chosen. And then David and God switch to the heart. And he challenges Solomon. This is a father to a son. My son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father. Put God first. Serve him with what kind of devotion? Wholehearted devotion. And with a willing mind. Yeah. How many of you know that this thing between your ears, under your hair, top of your neck? Yeah, that gets in your way a lot of times. David's saying, Solomon, you need a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire. Look at this. The Lord searches every heart, and he understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he'll reject you forever. And then we jump ahead a little bit. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart, and you're pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people hear. So he's back to being excited about the temple. We finish up with this one. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. Keep these God desires. God, put your desires in their hearts, because that's where blessing is going to be found. And God, keep their hearts loyal to you. And then God, give my son Solomon wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I've provided. Real fast, I want to just run through Solomon's encounter with God before we quit today. But David switches to say, it's about the love of our hearts. What is your heart really set on? What's going on in your heart? So maybe you got some great actions. Maybe even you're praying, you're doing good things, right? But what's really living in that heart? Stephen talked about it last week. The word was expulsion, right? Where you've got a glass filled with dirty water. You eat the cereal, you put the chocolate on it, right? You scrape out the last bit, and you put it in the sink, right? No water in there, but then you turn the water on, and what happens? Well, it kind of fills up with water at first, and then the water gets chocolatey, okay? But then if you keep putting water in, it eventually is scooping out that dirty water. Pretty soon all the chocolate goes away, and there's just clean water in there. That's expulsion. And Stephen was just making the point last week, you can't just grit your teeth and stop doing the bad things. You've got to expel those things out of your heart by putting in new things, new good things, new life. And so David was just saying, God, keep the desires and thoughts of our heart pure, because that's where the blessing is going to come from. So Solomon is hearing all this, right? So we're going to jump to Solomon's encounter with God, but this is the backstage. This is what's happening. This is what Solomon's hearing. Solomon, before he goes into this encounter with God, so David moves on. He passes away. Solomon is now king. When we jump to the next verse here, I guess I got fun things on all the slides there. So that's the knowledge. That's what's ringing in his ears when he walks into this God encounter, that you're chosen, that you're loved, that. It's so important for your heart to be pure and right. So quickly, that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father. You've made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you've made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust on the earth. Listen, here's the key. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead these people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Had Solomon not known that he was chosen, that this was not a mistake, your life is not a mistake, guys. Where you're at right now, it's not a mistake. Like, there might have been extenuating circumstances, but you guys, you're chosen. You're chosen to go bear fruit. You're chosen to do the will of God in your life right now, today, and it's going to be great. Solomon walked into this God encounter knowing that he was chosen, knowing that it was very important to do what was right in your heart. Next slide says this. We are, oh yeah, I forgot. I added this. We always think. I'm going to come back to that later because I don't want to mess up. So the next slide, he says, God said to Solomon, here's God's response. Since this was your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth or possessions or honor or the death of your enemies, since you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth and possessions and honor, such as no king was before you, none after will have. Okay? How did Solomon end up grabbing the attention of God? Why not one of the other sons? I believe so much had to do with the pursuit of his heart, the position of his heart, and how he answered God. By the way, this was in a dream. When you're stewarding your heart with God in such a way of integrity, God can trust you to make decisions while you sleep. Like, this was in a dream. Solomon answered in a dream, and God took it as, all right, that's your answer. How powerful is that? How many of you want the rest of your life to be a result of being held accountable to what you said in your dream? I don't see many yeses going on there. But Solomon's encounter in this dream with God, his heart was so for this. So your heart's desire. Listen to this. I'm going to list off the things, and then we'll be done. I'm going to list off the things that God listed off. Since you did not ask for. So let me ask you this morning, what's your heart's desire? What is the desire of your, what's in the core of your being? Do you have your heart set on wealth? Is that what is stirring your deepest desires? Yeah, you're doing good things, and whatever, you're helping people, whatever, but in your heart of hearts, your heart's desire, your core desire, because that's what got God's attention with Solomon. What's in your heart right now? How are you living? Because that's where you live from. You live from your heart. Is it possessions? Do you have your heart set on possessions? Is it about gathering up stuff so you can fill up another closet and another shed? Right? All of us hoarders said amen, right? Is that what your heart is set on? Because that's dust and ashes, friends. And God, these are the things that God is listing off. Is it honor? How many of the dysfunctions and the failed relationships and the bad things that happens in my life and in your life, yes, I'm looking at you, happen because our heart's desire is set on honor. And boy, I'm going to get some credit for something. And it ends up wrecking relationships, and it ends up, like, you're not humble. Your heart is set. You would never admit that, and you might even not know that. But as I'm saying it, you've got a little twinge inside of you. You're like, I wonder if that's me. Check your heart. Man, don't set your heart on honor. Let someone else take the credit. Let someone else be exalted. You walk in humility. God sees. He'll make it right. Is it the death of your enemies? In 2020, I think the heart of many people's desire was set on the death of their enemies. That's all I'm saying in America. Because if we're judging by what our words are saying and the attitude of our posts on Facebook, yeah, let's just say good thing God didn't show up for a lot of us in a dream. I mean, not you guys. I mean, the other us. You know, wow. Is revenge? Justice in the human sense, in the not the godly sense of the word. Want to get what's right, right? Is that your heart's desire? Is that what's driving the, yikes. Is it long life? Wait a minute, I thought long life is good. It is when it comes from God. It is. But Jesus said, whoever would lose your life, you'll save it. And if you're consumed with saving my life, I'm not saying don't eat healthy. I mean, take your vitamins, please. Right? Do healthy things. Not saying that you shouldn't try to live long, but is your heart desire set on self-propagation? It's all about me. I need to live because I'm important. You are important. You're chosen. Don't let your heart be set on long life. Last one. We're done. Or is your heart set on wisdom and knowledge to govern? You all, and don't think that governing is just for kings. You're a royal priesthood. Bible says that. Say, I'm royal. You are royal. You all have been given a sphere of influence, and it might just be over your puppy and his house. I don't know. But, you know, whether it's family, whether it's friends, neighbors, whether it's where you work, you've been given a realm of influence to steward. Right? You're to push back darkness and bring light. You're to bring truth and justice in the God kind of sense. You're to bring hope and peace. You need wisdom for that. You need wisdom. So at the end of the day, guys, know that you're chosen. If you're going to start this journey diving into wisdom, looking for how wisdom is going to bring me on the path of life, you need to know, you need to settle the issue. You're chosen. Not because of any great thing you did, because God chose you, because he loves you, because that's just who he is. And he picked you to go bear fruit. And he's very concerned about what's in your heart. On this pursuit of wisdom, what's in your heart? Let's expel the other junk that doesn't bring life, because that's a pathway to death. Let's get on the pathway to life. So we'll just end there. That's our wisdom intro. God, I just bless these people. Help us to be on the path of wisdom, and I thank you for paths of life. Bless Aspen on her graduation today, and pray for the glory of God to fill all of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Be blessed, guys.